Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter.
Howdy, Watchers. It's Dan, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. It's a little surreal that we're already at 31 episodes. Thanks for sticking with us. First up this week, Scott and I gave our feedback on the reality show F-Boy Island, which is available on HBO Max. This feedback segment does get a bit spoilery and spassy, so please be warned if you're trying to avoid spoilers, puns, and naughty talk for F-Boy Island. Then, I put the kettle on and butler Nye and Scott into taking a DC Universe time machine for a gander at Pennyworth, which is also available on HBO Max. Which apologize for a few audio garbles, hiccups that occurred during the recording, and we hope that the edits minimize their effect. We also wish to apologize for Dan's horrible British accent. If this podcast is the best or worst thing you've ever heard, please rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you hit us up on our Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook page, you'll probably get an informative or witty response from one of us, if that's the thing you want. Finally, if you have a show or movie you want us to watch, please leave us a voicemail on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/watchokplease. All right, Watchers, it's time to get on with it before we lose the plot.
Hey guys, it's Nyan, and we are here to talk about F-Boy Island, the reality dating competition show on HBO Max. I had the guys watch the first three episodes. And so guys, what did you think?
I love Nikki Glaser. She's so hilarious.
She's amazing.
You read my mind. So, Nyan, I actually did a little bit of reading up on the show after I watched it. Like, I just did, you know, quick search to see, like, what some people have written about the show. And there was primarily positive reviews, like, very positive.
Wow. I had no idea.
Even from the New York Times. Like, yes, the New York Times had an article about a show called F-Boy Island.
Wait, Margaret didn't write about it, did she?
No, it was not our Lord and Savior, Margaret.
Oh. I would love to hear her thoughts on it.
I'm not surprised. They cover this stuff all the time.
Yeah, that I would love. That would be very interesting to hear Margaret's thoughts. But one thing I read, and I don't know if either of you know this yet, but you might be relieved or thrilled to hear that there will be a season two.
Oh yeah!
Whoa!
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, but my one suggestion for the show that they might want to think about in season two to change or improve on, it can be summarized in three words: more Nikki Glaser.
I mean, she was in every episode and was the host. I don't know how much more they could put in there. What would be the more? Like, do you want her in, like, the end credits, or like where do you want her?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe get some have her do those confessionals where she just talks to the camera with her observations on what's happening.
Actually, this is my question, because I know that, you know, my exposure to reality shows tends to be in the cooking realm. So, and it seems that, though, because everyone is stationed at these, and you know, spoiler alert here, either in Limbro or at the nice guy's villa, is there kind of a Last Chance Kitchen kind of thing that goes on later?
I've never seen Last Chance Kitchen.
So the idea is that, you know, a person who got kicked off the main part of the show can earn entry back in if they can prove themselves, so to speak.
So I really don't want to spoil anything. How far did you guys get? Did you guys go past?
I only had time to the three personally. So, okay. But
yeah,
but
here.
My gut tells me that this concept exists, because I feel like this has become a new thing across all reality shows.
Not exactly the exact concept, but something does happen. I'll leave it at that, because I don't want to spoil it for you guys. No, it sounds good. Like, you enjoyed it.
That's good. It's like we want to get like the idea here. Yeah.
Well, and from the episodes that we watched, we saw that they added new people.
Yep.
In the middle of the show, which was a little weird, but yep. I imagine if they were okay with that, I would think that something like an eliminated person coming back could happen.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And I know that Nikki is the host, and obviously the show is not about her, but she is so good that I just feel like she should have a bigger part in the show.
I mean, I think half of my comments on here are like her random like catchphrases or jokes, or however you want to call it. I think the two ones that crossed right in the first episode there, I just started ovulating.
Yes. Yep. That was a good one.
And of course, do F boys always have to finish on our face?
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yes. And
this,
of course,
this is your spicy warning, by the way.
And of course, her dismissal of the contestants who get eliminated with F boy, F by.
Yeah.
And was a little like, nice guy, nice try.
Yep.
That was the first time I heard that, my mind exploded. It was so good.
Yeah, because I can't. Every time I hear that, I'm like, all I hear is, you know, Padma, please pack your knives and go.
Why would mom say that to you?
Sorry. But really,
there are some creepy guys that might have knife collections, so never know.
That's true. Sorry, for those folks who don't realize, my mother's name is also Padma. She came first.
Yes.
Before
OG Padma. OG Padma. Like OG
yes,
Jared.
OG Padma. Yes.
OG Jared, yeah.
But I was just going to say, I know that you described the show pretty well in your pitch of it, but still, watching the first three full episodes wasn't really quite what I expected, I guess. It really like made fun of itself as it was going on, which was amazing.
Right. And that's why I thought it would actually appeal to you guys, as opposed to like something like The Bachelor, which is very, very sincere. This
right.
is very self-aware.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I think that yeah, there was a lot of things that were, some of it was contextual, some of it was a little bit more, you know, tongue in cheek, and it was like kind of funny to see that.
Yeah, and I like how they had Limbro, which is so great. Like, what a great name, the nice boy villa, so that you still got a chance to get to know the people who were eliminated, and it wasn't just that you never saw them again. And that is something that I don't think, in my limited experience watching reality shows, but I don't think that happens a lot.
When they go, they go. You get their like their swan song or their swan kind of like, you know, monologue
their
about how
yeah.
oh, if they only gave me a better chance, or I should have done this. You know, the self reflection point as they leave. So I say swan song because again, that's the other part of me. Is the only other reality show I watch besides the related cooking ones was The Sing Off with Nick Lachey, and when groups left The Sing Off, they had their swan song, and that's how that's my context there. I forgot about that one, so I did watch one other non-food reality show.
Gotcha. Oh. Well, I mean, you most of your time is probably taken off watching Beat Off Bobby Flay, where people just beat off Bobby Flay.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Is that what that's called?
I've been calling it.
He's had what, three ex-wives now?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Makes sense.
Yeah, apparently he's a terrible misogynist. So it explains a lot. It's weird. But everyone on the show actually seems to like him very much. It's very confusing. So,
I'm not going to knock his skills as a chef, but maybe as a human being, we'll see.
Well, speaking of misogynists.
Great transition right there.
Yeah. There are quite a few on F-Boy Island.
Oh God, yeah, they're such terrible people.
They really are.
Like, you're signing a contract that you're going to be recorded on national television, and you're perfectly okay just saying what you're saying. I'm like, wow. I don't know.
That's the funny thing that about reality shows, at least in my experience, because a lot of it's fed in by 90 Day Fiancé, which is a cesspool, an utter cesspool now. But there are just so many people who get on that show just to be terrible, so they gain some sort of following or notoriety because of it. So,
well,
I mean,
I also am thinking of a certain reality show that you exposed me to. Oh, that came out kind of naughty. about a certain staff on private ships and yachts.
Ah, yes, Below Deck.
Yes,
which is, I should probably put that on the list too. But you've seen a bunch of that, right? I've forced you to watch a bunch of it.
I watched at least three or four episodes. But again, there were random eps that were happened to be on. So it's not like there was a sequential kind of progression, except for the couple we watched in a row. So.
Oh, that's true. And I could always turn you on to Below Deck Mediterranean or the new Below Deck Down Under that's coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, so you're telling us to put a shrimp on the barbie.
Exactly.
I haven't seen Below Deck, but after Katie Nolan stopped watching The Bachelor, she started watching Below Deck, so she talked about it a lot in the podcast.
Well, there you go. So I think this is a sign, Nine.
If I had known she was doing that, I would have kept listening to the podcast.
Yes, they talk about Below Deck quite a bit.
Oh man, I gotta get back into it.
But yeah, okay. So I guess all you'll Nyan, since I think you've watched other shows, I guess in the same similar style, you'll have to maybe explain this to me, because the times where they were just talking to the camera on their own, I feel like, and some of them must have been more open, maybe, than they were with the actual girls, because this isn't like the part of the show was they were trying to, at least some of them were trying to trick the girls into thinking that they were nice. But I have a feeling it seems like it maybe was a little bit of a kind of, you see different sides of them when they're just talking to a camera by themselves as to when they're around other people.
Well, you see, if I was Garrett, I would turn to Scott's comment right there and just say, open your legs for me.
Yeah, thank you. Exhibit A right there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's certainly an element, right? Like that talking head is intended to be sort of an aside, I guess, literally an aside.
The office type of, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would assume that the other people, like the other guys and girls, didn't see those, right, when they were actually filming it.
No. Mm-hmm. Those are purely for the viewer.
Right. So they could, you know, they could have said something to one of the girls and then go to speak to the camera and then say the complete opposite.
Yes,
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I could tell that some of them seemed like they were exactly doing it. But okay, can we talk about Charlie?
Oh my gosh.
What the hell was up with that guy?
Oh my God. Yeah, that was so weird.
That was bizarre.
It really was weird.
It was completely through for a loop. That guy was terrible. And I just could not believe how much he really dug himself into that hole. Yeah. Like just pretending.
Yeah. You know, condolences on your loss, man, for real. But you signed a contract saying you're saying this is who I am. I'm a self-declared F-boy, and you try and come back and say that you're not. I'm like, dude, that's just not speaking with, you know, anyone who has remote legal training here. I mean, he clearly just does not know what's up.
No. Terrible witness.
Right. And Nikki was not pleased.
Nope. Oh yeah. I mean, granted, that could all have been staged, but it was really done very well in terms of like for shock value, at least. And it happened. We're talking about it. So like it was interesting television. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. I mean, I thought of that too, that maybe it was all staged, but if it was, they did a pretty good acting job of like looking really shocked.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Like you got to wonder, like, because I think it's more the 90 Day Fiancé stuff, which is very, very clear. Like after a while you figure out, oh yeah, no, they staged way too much of it. FYI didn't feel as staged, but you could see how it could have been.
Right.
But, that whole Charlie thing where just straight up lying about everything so badly. Classic F-boy behavior, let's be real.
Yeah.
To just kind of double down on your lies. But you know, it was nuts. And it was just so entertaining to watch and infuriating.
And I wish to apologize for everyone on behalf of everyone from NYC. Not everyone is Chris. I'm sorry.
No, are you sure?
Not everyone. I'm saying not everyone. I'm not saying that there aren't Chris's out there. I think there's a tremendous amount of Chris's out there. As a self-reformed F-boy, as Nyan mentioned in the pitch here, basically, you can change, but some people, they just are who they are to the core.
Well, yeah. And I guess one of the other questions the show is asking, right, is can an F-boy really change? Can he turn over a new leaf? And I don't know if we saw enough episodes to see if they go into that further later, but I imagine they do.
Yeah, they definitely do. And I think it's worth continuing to watch to see how that evolves to the extent that you're interested. I mean, they definitely get into it. The Chris's are ridiculous.
But I have to say, though, you know, again, for those people out there in the audience that are listening, if you're looking for eye candy, you're going to get it.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I mean, on all sides. Again, I don't care who your type is, more muscular, more athletic. You know, you're going to get all sides of it. Even hairstyles too. You know, you got a whole good selection here on all perspectives. You know, everyone has like their unique personality, like we've been discussing. So I think that, you know, there's a lot that is going on here. But I do have as a public service announcement: if they say they're a club promoter, beware.
Well, that's always been true. 100%.
That's always been true. But yeah, this kind of really hammers it home to anyone out there who doesn't live in a major metropolitan area. This is a dead, red alert.
Massive red flag. And it's funny the way that sometimes the girls did not get that, well, seem to ignore red flags or embrace them in some way. And CJ seemed to be the biggest offender.
Yes.
Drove me nuts. I was like, I guess you saw it was called F-Boy Island. You were like, I'm going to get all the F-Boys. She seems terrible on occasion, but also incredibly hot. So I was very torn.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because I mean, CJ, and the fact that, you know, CJ, like, I mean, later, you know, CJ stood up for Chris. And I'm like, really? I'm like, you don't think that he's playing you? Like,
Oh, well, yeah, but he was feeding her information, right?
Yeah. But and again, you know, he's playing the long game, you know, and I understand that, you know, when you're on a reality show, you sometimes do have to play the long game, but at the same time, undercutting other people is only going to get you so far.
Right.
And, is CJ the one who's from LA?
CJ Franco, the female CJ? Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Female, so, good. Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah. The girl CJ. Yeah. So, I mean, I know there are F-boys everywhere, but I would think in LA, there must be really F-boys everywhere.
Shots fired. Scott's calling out LA. You're not wrong.
I mean, come on.
I think that there's certain metropolitan areas I think that are more predisposed to having F boys, and NYC and LA are probably two of the biggest ones. Although we can't count out Florida at the same time either.
Yes, that is definitely true. But yeah, so because of that, I just thought, how is she not seeing this? Like, it seems like she would have had a lot of F boy experience just being around, you know, the movie industry and entertainment industry and all that.
Right. So much, you're absolutely right. And there's so much of the way she approached things. I was like, I don't think you actually want a nice guy.
You're
very much embracing F boys.
Right. Well, again, she talks about it. Like, she's like, she doesn't want something serious per se. She wants someone that will that is a nice guy and is not going to kind of, you know, cheat on her or do things like that. But she wants them to feel like she's with an F boy. So it's like, well, yeah, it's like it's very hard to straddle that line. It's like finding that rainbow unicorn in a crowd. You know, it's like, are you going to be able to find that person that fits both those things? It probably exists, but they're probably few and far between, I would bet.
And if you're going to get your cake and eat it too, you will get diabetes, CJ. Like, that's how that works. So,
or a venereal disease.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Or HPV. That's right. Good point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Again, you know, I think that some of her one-liners, you know, were pretty amazing in that regard. You know, she's a little out there. I mean, you know, she says, you know, hey, we're all gonna get wet. Wait, what? I was dying. I literally almost spit out my drink when I was watching that.
That was pretty great.
And for the record, having a little bit of that, you know, social lubricant in you, it definitely does heighten your enjoyment, I would say, because they're a little sauced, so you get a little sauced too. I think, you know, kind of helps a little bit.
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
that is also very true, yeah.
And don't forget to bring your big conch.
And right. I will also never think of the word pterodactyl the same way again.
I know, right? That was great.
Yeah, you could say that was a Paleolithic approach.
Yes. I mean, although I really think her choosing that word was for the birds.
Yes, 100%. Speaking of that, Mark may not have been very popular because he was too talkative, but I really did enjoy some of his joke. You know, the reptile dysfunction. That was, yep. I thought that was pretty funny.
I was here for it.
So
yeah, I thought reptile dysfunction wasn't bad. Also, it seemed like he stepped out of a Miami Vice episode from the '80s.
100%. Yeah, he's like the rejected stunt double from the Miami Vice movie that was recently remade.
Which, you know, hey, if that's the statement you're making, then go for it. But it was very distinctive.
Yeah, I'm wearing Miami Vice on Wish.
So do you guys have predictions about who actually won?
Ooh, that's hard. Wow. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, like, male CJ, aka Casey, seemed to really hit it off from the get-go. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything, because just like a lot of couple guys did over the course of the episodes here, they really put their foot in their mouth. I mean, Nikki's reaction to Garrett Powers's poem, like, that was like cringe, but also amazing at the same time. And again, this is what some people watch reality TV for, you know? They want to see these moments where it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened. But at the same time, it's like, no, and like you have all these conflicting emotions. Like, it's entertaining and you're like so shocked, but at the same time you're kind of like, they did not just do that kind of thing. So that's kind of like a convergence. Is it a weird Venn diagram of confusion, anger, and like laugh and like humor, all kind of converging in a Venn diagram here. It's just really random.
Oh yeah, I think reality TV producers have figured out how to emotionally manipulate people very well, and I'm here for it because after a long day of work, I'm happy for someone else to emotionally manipulate me as opposed to my fellow coworkers and not have to worry about it with no consequences because I'm on my couch sipping some wine.
Yeah.
In order to keep some faith in humanity, I really want to think that at least one of them chose a nice guy in the end.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if they could.
Also, okay, out of the three ladies, who you think would be most likely to choose a nice guy?
I guess Sarah, just because she seemed to be, if I remember right, maybe I missed something, but be the one to actually like say I'm looking for a nice guy. I don't think the other two said that.
Right. No, you're right. I think Sarah did say she was definitely looking for something more serious.
Right. Now, whether she actually was able to follow up on that or not is a different story.
Yeah, I mean, remember, she was with the other Garrett, not Garrett Powers, the other Garrett. I can't remember his name.
New Garrett?
His last name.
Oh, no, sorry. That's Jared. Sorry, I'm mixing them up. Yeah, I'm mixing up all the F-boy names.
Yeah, I mean, the blonde Garrett.
The Bitcoin investor?
Was he the Bitcoin investor?
Yeah, Blonde Garrett was the Bitcoin investor.
So then that's a Bitcoin investor. So as you mentioned during the pitch, basically, yeah. So they were hitting it off, you know, really, you know, on their date on the yacht, on the cruiser in the harbor or whatnot. So it was like, I'm like, don't do it, right. Don't do it. You know? It's one of those things like you can't tell them that.
yeah, exactly. It's just so little going. But then it seemed like she was getting along with the guy who wanted to take it slow, like the guy who didn't want to rush into things.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, like I usually
was a Josh, right? Josh.
Their names are all blending together. You know, all these F boy names, just can't tell them apart.
Yeah. I'm just glad we didn't have like, you know, Chad A, Chad C, Chad.
Oh my God.
You know,
maybe in season two, you guys, there might be a lot more Chads.
That is very true. There was a lack of Chads.
This season we're having a three-way dodgeball between Garrett, Chad, and Jared.
I could definitely see that in season two, no question.
Well, it'll be a spinoff show. It'll be like Battle of the Jareds.
Here you go. Oh my God, the way that we're going at it, man! Like that was crazy. That was super intense.
Yeah,
but just to get a little D&D nerdy for a second, it kind of occurred to me that I think you could breakdown in terms of, I think all the three girls are neutral, but I would say Nakia's true neutral.
Yes, I agree.
Sarah's lawful neutral, and then CJ's
chaotic neutral, 100%. Chaotic neutral, yes. 100%.
To me, I just guaranteed that I had no shot with any of them, which is fine.
I was just married,
but like, I'm good with it.
It's okay. People don't know that your dexterity is so high, even if your charisma might be more mid. It's okay.
No, that's fair. Thank you.
Like, if people didn't know that before you made that comment, then now it's confirmed.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I got an ogre slayed knife that gives me a +9 against ogres. Sorry.
Had to be said.
But there was just, I mean, to me, there was just so many one-liners in here. I just couldn't believe, like, please don't give me crabs. Yes. Nakia is saying, what am I writing next?
Yes, I love that. I love how much she laughed after she realized what she said.
I know. She's like, wait, I shouldn't have said that. And then there was like male CJ, Casey. He's like, you have to bring Zac Efron to beat me.
That's right.
I was dying.
It was so good. Yeah. So it kind of sounds like you guys might be up for watching more of this.
Yeah, I think I could definitely, I can't say I'm going to drop everything else I'm watching and go back and keep on watching right this moment, but
fair enough.
You know, I think that this is definitely, like you said, it's because it doesn't take itself too seriously. I think that, you know, if I'm hanging out, you know, my family here is asleep and I don't want to watch, I don't want to get into something that's like serious or makes me think too much. This is not a bad way to kind of spend a little bit of time. You know, again, I watched all three in a row in one night, basically. But again, if you're catching it, you know, in little bits, with a little beer or whatever your wine or drink of choice is. Might not be a bad way to kind of spend some time.
Yeah, I definitely want to know how it ends.
Yeah, I feel you, dude.
For sure, but I don't know if I could sit through like another 6 episodes or however many there are.
I would not do them in a row, yeah.
Yeah, until you get to the finale. I mean, unless they throw in some curveballs later on, it seems like they've kind of established. Oh, which they do. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Right. That's actually why I really like the series, is that they continue to throw in curveballs.
It does
not get static and boring.
All right. But yeah, I definitely want to see how everything kind of comes to a conclusion and see which one of them ends up winning and with which guy and whether that guy is an F-boy or not.
It is absolutely worth watching to the end. I was livid by the finale and was like, and I think I might have screamed. I probably screamed, but it was all worth it. The whole journey was
all worth it. Okay.
Well, I mean, after all, what's more fun than dodgeball with water balloons? Sex. It went with you, Scott. Every time Nikki came in, like she always had like the right thing to say at that moment.
Yeah,
you know, there was that bit they did, like when you order sushi but you get an F-boy roll.
Yes.
There were some transitions they did and some things that Nikki did. You know, I think that, you know, if they keep the show smart-ish like they have, I think that, you know, for season 2, then yeah, I think that they think they may continue to get some high acclaim, like Scott was saying.
Well, and there's one other thing I just wanted to bring up briefly. So I think it was the 3rd episode when they were doing the photo shoot,
yeah,
or as Nikki Glaser called it, selfies, but taken by other people. So just photography.
That was amazing.
which is also great. But anyway, how the guys just kept getting so angry when they were watching the girls like take photos with the other guys and like get close to them. And I was just thinking, did you not know what show you were on? Like, how could they not think that would happen?
Again, yeah, I mean, you are in no way exclusive to any of these women yet. That's the whole point of the show.
Exactly. And it's like, all right, yeah, I know they're F boys, some of them, but still.
I know, but by nature, if you're jealous, I mean, fine. But you know, like you said, I think you have to know, you have to be able to read the room here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like you if you've watched any reality show of any kind, you would have to a part of. The whole idea of this genre is that you try to ratchet up the emotions and just like you said, Nyan, and manipulate people's emotions. So the fact that like, oh, I can't believe she's getting so close to, you know, these 3 unbelievably incredibly attractive women are like getting close to all these other guys. Like, how dare they?
Yeah.
I didn't get that. But anyway.
Yeah. No. And one more thing about Nikki, I mean, in the 3rd episode, I mean, she was chatting with the ladies. I mean, she's like, she was just straight dropping facts about how women approach sex. And again, you know, men, and collectively, you know, we don't have a very good idea about a lot of things. Let's just be honest here. And the fact that, you know, that she was 100% willing and able to just drop facts like that out there was great, because I think that there's a lot of dysfunction, F-boy, even with non-F-boy sometimes that exists in the ether. And so I think that the more that we can talk about things in a way as adults to really kind of address these kinds of situations, we can hopefully address some of the many problems that exist in the dating world. Again, we can address problems, everything from the more aggressive people to even ghosting to all this other kind of stuff that exists out in the ether. Because I think that, you know, we're all humans. We you know, most of us have feelings, you know, maybe except for some people named Garrett. And, I think that it'd be great at some point if people could say, wait a minute, I came to a realization at some point, obviously. I'm like, you know, maybe I should actually, you know, not, you know, just be a total douche.
Well, I guess we'll have to watch a little bit more to see if there's any hope for F-boy transformation.
So, Scott, did you happen to hear the closing music from episode 3?
No, I don't. At least I don't think I took particular note of it.
They were playing Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. So I'm like, wow, that is really just like, oh, it's like, oh, I see that open wound right there. How about have some of this rock salt thrown on there? Yeah, perfect. Yeah, it was awesome. But it was great, you know, because when you saw, you know, Matt, you know, outing Garrett at P and Craig, I mean, that was there's a lot to talk about on the shows. I mean, again, I feel like does Nikki do a podcast like about this, like postseason, like kind of how they do with like, because you know, for all the different drag races out there, there's always commentary from different, you know, queens out there and whatnot, and there's always like recaps and analysis that goes on. I mean, I feel like that this show, like I said, because it doesn't take itself too seriously, I think there's a lot more comedy that can come out of those analyses as opposed to analyzing, like Nyan was saying, The Bachelor.
Oh, I'm sure there probably is. I forget if there definitely is a direct companion podcast, but there could be, because I know HBO Max seems to be doing that a lot with a lot of their shows. So
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was an official one. And then there's so many random podcasts out there do this kind of analysis for both, you know, sort of standard reality shows and shows like FBoy Island. Like Reality Gaze is one of the more popular ones. That's right. One my wife listens to all the time, and they're pretty hilarious.
Yeah, they are,
and very, very, you know, very good at their job. So, yeah. And also Nicole Byer has one she does. It's a Patreon one that we subscribe to for 90 Day Fiance called 90 Day Bay, which is also great.
Oh, so, that sounds amazing.
She does such a good job. Shout out! I'd like to just shout out Nicole Byer again. Probably continue to do so for the rest of my life. There's so many good reality recap podcasts that, and they're excellent companions to it, at least the ones I listen to.
I don't think I have enough of a feeling, going back to your question before about who do I think seeing at the end. I mean, I don't have enough of a feeling at this time, basically, but the like Josh, like Scott said before, I mean, he seems like a really nice guy, you know, definitely very attractive. So I mean, my hope is that he seems like a nice guy, and you know, he's deserving, you know, I'd say more deserving of love. But now we're talking about choices. I think I have to ask, because Scott, I already know if you had your choice, you probably would say, I choose Nikki. But but if you had to choose between Nikia, CJ, and Sarah, who would you want to approach if you happen to be in this situation? I'm curious.
It's that's a tough call. They're all amazing in many ways, but I would probably say Sarah.
Sarah was going to be my pick as well. Just, CJ was infuriating, and Nikki was fine, but I like Sarah more.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, I mean, when they first walked out, Nikia just kind of blew me away. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if I was to rank order here, it'd be, Nikia, Sarah, CJ. Yeah.
Although I have to say for CJ, stand up for CJ a little bit, because yes, I agree. She was infuriating. But in the first episode, she was the only one that picked out an F-boy, if I remember right.
Oh yeah, I think you might be right, but I also don't know if she did it on purpose. She might have been disappointed.
That's a good point.
Well, that was the thing is, you know, she was very, you know, quick to say, oh, how dare you call me toxic. It's like, well,
right.
He didn't call her, again, contextually, if we're having a pedantic conversation here, he didn't call her toxic, but again, you're chatting this girl up, you probably don't want to mention a word that could be triggering. So it's I see both sides of that. So
it was a bad call, but I mean, maybe it just worked out better for her in the long run.
Yeah, but it's like,
yeah, exactly.
It's interesting to see how that worked out, though. Like for sure.
Yeah, and you're right, Nyan. She might have done that on purpose. Like so,
because the third episode that
didn't want to do that, but she ended up doing it anyway.
Right, but and correct me wrong. The third episode, they eliminated three nice guys, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
The hope is that nice guys don't finish last, like you know, Lita Rocher once said. So you have to wonder sometimes, because you know there is common, you know, phrasing that, you know, the always lusting after the bad guy, the bad man, basically. You know, it's, you know, there is some truth to that. That mystery, that allure, the risk, you know, that people, you know, that might have. Again, my hope is, you know, if you are doing that, you can reform. And if not, basically, then get what you reap what you sow sometimes, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I have to say, Nyan, the whole point of this podcast is to try to get us to watch shows that we wouldn't necessarily think of watching because you like them and you think that we would. And this is one of the ones I never would have thought I would like, but you succeeded, my friend. This was really a fascinating show.
Yes. Finally did it. Finally won Watch OK, Please.
There you go.
It only took 30 episodes, but congrats.
Yeah, well, so the hope is that who you hope you aren't left at the bus stop, and you hope you take the limo over to the nice guy grotto if you have to.
Nailed it.
Nicole Byer reference.
Now we're leaving that part in.
Yes. That should stay in.
All right, it's Dan again. I'm here to pitch another show that is probably almost definitely in my wheelhouse on the norm, but I think I wanted to put it out there because it's a little bit off the beaten path as far as the mainstream of comics related shows that's out there. And that is the Pennyworth TV series that originally premiered on the Epics channel back in 2019. And it's obviously based on Alfred Pennyworth, the butler of one Bruce Wayne, aka Batman. And what's interesting about this is that it tells the story of his younger years. And I think that it kind of gives you a little bit of kind of a more of a backstory as it relates to how he became the not just knowledgeable about, you know, fighting and teaching, you know, Bruce everything he knows, but also a little bit about his kind of mindset as it relates to justice and good and whatnot. So I think that this is really was kind of interesting. And then this actually did last for two seasons. It actually released back in late 2020, second season, but the first season is what we're focusing on here. And I think that, you know, what's really, I think it's a really awesome cast. I really like the people that they chose for all the different people in this. So for those of you who don't know, the showrunner for this is Bruno Heller, who also showrunned the Gotham series, which was on Fox, and which featured Sean Pertwee as the titular character of Alfred there. And interesting fact, on all you nerds out there, Sean Pertwee is actually the son of John Pertwee, who was one of the doctors in Doctor Who. So yeah, so there's a whole lot of, you know, nerdception, as one might say, that goes on in a lot of these series. So it's pretty neat. So this takes place, obviously, you know that Alfred is English, so this takes place in England.
Yeah. Sorry, Dan, before you continue, Scott, like with this Batman, Alfred Pennyworth, Doctor Who crossover, in nerdception, are you okay? Do you need a minute? You need to, like, change your pants or something? Like, you good?
Amazingly, I am not really a Doctor Who fan. I know Dan might scoff at that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm a Whovian. Yes, absolutely. That absolutely.
So. Someone that I'm related to is very much into Doctor Who, but not me so much.
Oh wow, that's amazing.
And yeah, and actually, I'm not even that big of a Batman fan either. I really still like the Michael Keaton, like the original Batman movie. I still think that's a really probably one my favorite of all the different iterations. And it's just, it seems like they keep doing Batman so frequently that it's kind of, I've reached the tipping point for me. But I am interested in this series because it's a different take on it, and it focuses on Alfred as opposed to Bruce Wayne or Batman.
Well, speaking of a previous, you know, conversation about TikTokers out there, there was a really awesome TikTok that was placed out there, and I'm going to push this out to everybody. It's a Kermit the Frog. He's singing a parody of Rainbow Connection, and it starts off as, "Why are there so many films about Batman? We get it, his parents died." Yeah. So, I encourage everyone to go out there and seek that, because it 100% represents the feelings, I think, of pretty much about 90% of DC comics, movies, TV fans that exist in the ether, I think.
So. Hey, man, I'm happy to be part of the 10%. Give me all the Batman. I want all of it.
You want to see? You want to see the pearls? The pearls falling to the ground all the time. You want to see the?
Oh, I don't need the origin all the time. I want you to get. Oh. I want you to get deep. I want you to get into him, like fighting the Mad Hatter and the Wallflower. Like, let's get into it. I'm here for the Court of Owls. Like,
that's what I see. The Court of Owls. Yeah. So, well, at some point, we'll have to have an extended conversation about the Batman film that debuted just recently as of the time of this recording. So yeah, we'll have to talk about that at some point for sure.
Wow, I am all about that Kermit video. I'm definitely going to be watching that.
Yeah, it was definitely pretty hilarious. But yes, because it was on, you know, cable, these are just heads up, these are this is the runtime of, you know, a little less than an hour. So it is very sequential though. So once again, I'm gonna have you go with the pilot as well as episode 2, The Landlord's Daughter. So a lot of the first episode kind of shows what's happening to Alfred after he leaves the service. So for those of you who don't know about his backstory, you know, they do mention that he's a former SAS soldier for the Queen and whatnot. So he has a tremendous degree of hand-to-hand combat and weapons, tactics, etc. He's a whole lot of going in behind this. And so he basically, you know, this is him trying to kind of filter out what he and his two close mates are going to do following leaving the service and what their plan is. And then, but as they begin to start to settle on, you know, foraying into a certain realm of business, fate happens upon them, and a great many other characters that are from the greater DC continuum begin to pop in, and a lot of familiar names you'll recognize across the board here, and you'll see some interesting character progression in that regard. And I don't want to go too far into the specifics of that, because I want you to experience that for yourself and see what you can and what you don't pick up and whatnot. And I think there's a great degree that comes through here. And what I love about this show is that it's very character driven, and I'd say to a lesser extent than, say, my previous pitch of, say, Penny Dreadful, for example. I think that this is a little bit, I'd say, tighter in as far as plots are concerned, and there's definitely, I would say, better cohesion across the episodes, and there's definitely a clear path that develops over time. But at the same time, it's complex enough that there are some, you know, twists and turns and everything else that comes through here. But I have to say also the supporting cast is also tremendous as well. Again, not everyone, you know, that you might know in here, but there's a lot of really excellent portrayals, I think, of a lot of characters here.
And are there some references, or do we get a sense of some of the inclusion of the larger DC universe in the first two episodes?
Yeah, you need to mention, yeah, there are certain characters that are definitely part of the larger DC universe, but keep in mind, you know, because this is taking place much earlier in London, say in the 50s/60s, basically. It's not like a contemporary of, say, you know, Pennyworth is younger, so you're not seeing Batman yet. And obviously, right, there are other DC characters that might not yet exist in the larger continuum. But there are kind of little Easter eggs, little references that are placed throughout the series in this regard. And they definitely put in a lot of different hints at how things might develop over time. But this is a little, I'd say it's a little less superhero and a little more spy.
More psychedelic, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, you stole my reference, Nyan. I was going to ask if Austin Powers makes an appearance.
It's because of the goddamn man.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of really amazing characters that kind of pop in here. I think I love so much about this series is that the interactions are just really amazing, because there's some people that, you know, you notice that Alfred is very comfortable with, and he has a very kind of cool, chill demeanor. And there's some people you can see he definitely doesn't want to deal with ever at all. And so it's very interesting to see how that works up, and then how over time he just wants to basically live. He wants to be his own man. He wants to be in control of his life. And little does he know that the greater societal circumstances are not going to allow him to do that. So he has to make a lot of decisions all along the way about what he's going to do as an individual, as a business owner, as an Englishman, across the board here. And I think that's what really kind of drew me to this, is that I always try to imagine how does this portrayal by Jack Bannon reach Sean Pertwee's character in Gotham? Because Gotham, which I may pitch a later date as well, it kind of tells a different portion in the timeline of the story as it relates to Batman. This aired on Epix, but it actually is on HBO Max for watching.
I'm very much looking forward to watching this, because just being able to take a different, it almost seems like it's in a sense like the Book of Boba Fett, where it takes a character who has only played a minor role in other stories and makes the focus entirely about that person.
I think the contrasting Boba Fett, though, is that Boba Fett is, even though he was a minor character in the Star Wars universe, he has loomed large in the Star Wars like fandom. People are writing songs about his Corvette. It's no one's writing songs about Albert Pennyworth's car, unless they are. Maybe, I don't know. Did MC Chris do a song about Albert Penny? Pennyworth's?
I don't believe he does, but I if I had enough cash in hands, I would pay him to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it probably wouldn't take much at this point. So get on Cameo and find MC Chris. Make him do it. Yeah,
I think that this is what the world needs, seriously.
Yeah, it is. I'm definitely curious. I did not get into Gotham. I mean, even though I want all the Batman all the time, I want you to give me all the Batman. Maybe because there was no Batman in Gotham directly, I was not as interested. I was curious, but I just never just made the time commitment to check it out. So I'm glad I'm getting this assignment to watch Pennyworth because maybe that's a question I have for you. Do you feel like you need to have watched Gotham or in some way to appreciate Pennyworth?
Not at all. I'm very I wanted to watch it for that reason because I watched Gotham first before I watched Pennyworth, but because Gotham has since ended for everyone who was curious about that question. But this is definitely it's for me. I think it's just interesting on an analytical perspective to see where this goes. So watching this first, I think is very interesting because you kind of get a better idea of this is Bruno's interpretation of where Alfred, Pennyworth, however you want to call him, where he came from.
So Pennyworth would be first chronologically.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that would be a very interesting order in which to watch it, so you get so that the whole story can build up over time.
Yeah, and I find so many of the characters like very likable, and some of them they make a lot of maybe bad choices as we've talked about in a previous pitch, but at the same time I think that there may be conflict, there may be problems that result from everything. You still have kind of this feeling and an idea for these people. In that regard.
Yeah, man. I'm curious. This sounds very interesting.
So were there any other questions?
No, yes. I just want you to give me all the Batman.
You can have mine.
Do you have Batman?
Yeah. Well, whatever Batman content is directed towards me, I'll redirect it to you.
Please do, because they ran out of Costco. I was at Costco for International Women's Day. And they didn't have any Batman or maybe real Batman.
So I'm that so is, sorry.
I'm sure that was disappointing.
Yeah, well, and then I guess in closing, I guess there's only one thing I could say to that. Fair play.
Oh, Dan, I was going to ask another question. Do you think that he would take a penny for his thoughts?
God.
Honestly, if you gave him about maybe you'd start with 50 quid, it'd probably be a better start.
That's a fair point.
Well, that happened, folks, which brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. We hope you had a good time listening to us spout more nonsense today, and hope you join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or just tell a friend about us. Until next week, keep on watching.